Yay. We're on. I got fresh batteries. Last week they were dead, so didn't record the text, but anyway, here we go. So back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning, we're going to finish up chapter 4, and you know, chapter 4 has Paul getting into the details of who we are and why we exist as Christians and as a church, and it's for ministry. And it's, you know, I've got a book I'm reading, and it's about the, it's kind of a Western Civ book about why we think the way we do and how we act the way we do. And a lot of it's based in Greek philosophy of the Greek Empire, which was before Christ, before the Roman Empire. And, of course, that colored the world of that day as it does to this day. And it always humors me that I think most of the Greek philosophers just needed a hobby. I mean, they just had too much time on their hand to wonder, you know, is this real? Is this esoteric? And what is there? Who am I and why am I here? A dime store Bible will answer that for you. And so that, you know, that's, oh my gosh, I won't waste your time talking about the Greek philosophers and all of their ideas. But it is, I guess from a biblical point of view, which God gives us our purpose and our reason for existence, it's a little bit humorous to read what they came up with and what they thought and how they plugged it in and how so many in the world follow still that to this day. But why we exist as Christians is it's for ministry. Verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So the fact that we have a ministry or a reason to be alive is based on the fact that we have received mercy. Mercy, man. And I won't bore you with my testimony, but man,
I think it's amazing that one of the not established rules of Bible study is when you see that word therefore, you better go back and figure out
why it's therefore. Yes. Yeah.
And this therefore, it just lays it all right out.
Yes. And that's what he talked about in verse 3. Grace versus the law. Mm. The gospel. Plainness of speech. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to believe sometimes. How could God be merciful to somebody like me? I don't deserve it. In fact, I've said this before, but if the preacher said, if I knew about you what you knew about you, I wouldn't bother preaching to you.
Yeah.
But if you knew about me what I knew about me, you wouldn't bother listening.
There you go.
So, and it's like I was talking to a guy out here in the lobby, and he's going through some stuff, man. He's going through some stuff with his marriage and his kids and all. And he says, man, I come in here, and I see other people, and I'm like, why is everybody here so happy? Everything's going well for them, and why is my world in the toilet? And I said, brother, that's not true. We're all struggling. We are all struggling with our flesh and with circumstances and with everything. And that's why we have to stay in this word, because it's the one thing. It's the one constant. And, you know, I tend to, you know, we've got 5 kids. We've got 10 grandkids. And I tend to obsess about the negatives. You know, oh, I'm a fixer. I need to help. I need to explain to you, you know. And God says, you know what? I got this.
Amen.
I got this. Just take a seat. Just rest in what I'm doing, and be happy about the things you can be happy with, and don't worry about it. Be careful for nothing. That's what the Bible says. Don't have cares about things that you have no control over. And oh my gosh. So I've quit looking at reels on my phone just because it's like I watch a couple of reels about, you know, somebody being arrested, pulled out of a car, or somebody doing, and I'm like, my blood pressure's up, my anxiety's up, and I've just wasted time in my life that I can't get back for no purpose whatsoever. And so let's, you know, bring it back. God wants to use us. God wants to use us in ministry. And our local church, we have two avenues of ministry. And again, I've said this before, inward and outward. Inwardly, we have a ministry to each other in the body, to love and support each other, to comfort, edify, exhort, and just fellowship. And we should support each other in the body of Christ, not judge each other. Not judge each other. We're all struggling. And if somebody's going through something worse than somebody else, we don't go, nah, yeah, look at it. No, that's not what the Bible says to do. You come along somebody and say, hey, love you, man. I'm praying for you. Do you need anything? What can I do to help? That's what the body is for inwardly. We should support each other in the role of the body of Christ. And we saw that in chapter 2. In fact, in chapter 1 it says when you're comforted, that's so you can comfort somebody else. In chapter 2 we saw this story about this guy in 1 Corinthians that is corrective. Paul is straightening out all the problems in the carnal church at 1 Corinthians. There's a guy sleeping with his dad's wife. And Paul says, you know what? Just don't have fellowship with him. He needs to be turned over to the destruction of Satan. And in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, evidently that worked. Because the guy did what was right. He stopped doing that. He repented. And you know what Paul says? You're to love, forgive, and comfort this guy. Whoa, wait a minute. This guy was doing something terrible. Yeah, we all do terrible stuff. And if we repent from it and turn from it and stop doing it and get back on track, we should have a church body that says, welcome back. We forgive you. In fact, we want to comfort you. How about the prodigal son's dad? This kid was a turd. He took his inheritance and blew it on partying. To the point that he's got nothing left. He's in a pigsty looking at what the pigs are eating going, you know what? I'm so hungry. And he says, and then he starts thinking, my servants, my father's servants. Oh, by the way, those were slaves in that culture. My dad's servants eat better than I do. So he went back home. And his dad ran to him, put on a robe, and was thankful he was home. Put on a feast. That's my Lord. And that should be us in the body of Christ. Because that's our ministry to each other. Not to judge and hold the past and go, ah, you clown, you went and spent all your money. Get out of here. Would have been fair. Would have been fair. And then, the other part of that story is the brother. The brother's bitter. You know why? He only saw himself. I've been here. I haven't done all this. Hey, dude, you should be pushing your dad out of the way to hug your brother because he's back home. Instead of thinking about all that you've done for the cause, that's another story. But anyway, so when we repent and be reconciled with, and we are to forgive and comfort others, because I am constantly repenting from my own actions of my flesh. Our faith and our trust is not in each other, But it's in the Lord. And in fact, last chapter, check this out, verses 4 and 5. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I don't have it in myself to live right and to treat others right. But God does. And when I look to that sufficiency, God says, I got you. The outward aspect of our ministry is to the lost. And we saw that in this chapter 4 that Satan has blinded and hidden the truth from them. So how do we reach them with the light? Verse 5, for we preach. We are always preaching. Sometimes we use words, but our lives and actions preach. Our lives and actions preach to people we work with or to our neighbors. And we should always use words to testify. But what do we preach? Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
And the last verse we looked at last week in verse 13 explains this in detail. I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. So, do you believe? Do you know? And that's what we're going to pick up on this, the first word. Knowing, verse 14, knowing. In order to believe, we have to know. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the gospel. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to know that. And we know that just as God raised up Jesus, he shall also raise us up as well as other believers. And we saw this event in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, talking about the catching away, what we call the rapture of the church. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Right now would be just fine. Even so, come Lord Jesus. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, when we are changed, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what we have to look forward to. Same thing in 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We win.
Wherefore is the therefore?
It all ends good. We went to a funeral yesterday of a friend of ours. Augie was 85. He's in glory now. And we were kind of wondering how long wonder how long we're going to live. You know, I'll be 67 this month. You know, and yeah, I'm not at the end, but you can see it from here. You know, it's like, man, it seems like just yesterday I was 40. I was telling my grandkids this last week, 50 years ago, this summer, I was practicing football for my senior year at Raytown. And I told my grandkids, I graduated high school in 77. I lay down and went to sleep, and I woke up, and 50 years had passed. And it just, life is just that fast. Life is just that fast. So let's read our text this morning. 2 Corinthians 14 to 18. Knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. We'll all be together in the sky. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen, which are things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, Paul realized in verse 15 that all things, verses 8 through 10, I missed 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you. And we read those accounts in 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians. But verse 15, for all things. So all means all. All things mean all things. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. All things are for the sakes of others to know the gospel and then to grow in faith for the glory of God. And what all things is Paul talking about? Well, we looked at him last week in verses 8 through 10. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's why we exist. That is why we exist, for the glory of God. And I added another passage where it talked about Paul being shipwrecked and beaten and all the things that he went through. And it's funny, when he gets down to verse 17, you know what he calls all these troubles he went through? Light affliction. Nothing. Verse 16, for which cause? For what cause? The things that we do work to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Man, I am ashamed to admit how many times I have wanted to quit. And say, you know what? Let's just stay home on Sunday. Watch Joel Osteen. I mean, you know, we faint not in spite of hardships, discouragement, oppositions. And we get tired in our flesh. But though our outward man perish, our outward man is marching downward toward the grave, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And it's interesting that when Paul says this in Romans 12, notice he says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. So everything I'm going to say right now is based upon the mercy that God has given us. that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By renewing, the renewing of your mind. When I was a kid, they used to say, garbage out, garbage in. What we put in our mind. That's why I need to be in this book.
Amen.
Because it renews my mind, that I can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Man, Lord, I need that renewal every day. And then in verse 17, Paul refers to the struggles that he has been through, like I already read what he listed, light affliction. And the first place Paul and Barnabas went was Lystra, and they dug him outside and stoned him and left him for dead. He actually was dead. Beaten, he's been thrown in prison, shipwrecked. Do you see why Paul could say all this was light affliction? Because he had the right perspective, which is hard for us to do in the flesh. Paul saw his circumstances in the context of but for a moment. They were only temporal, momentary. And he realized that the work God was doing through him had a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How many people will be in heaven because you suffered to give them the gospel? I can tell you right now, we're going to be in Kosovo in 5 weeks. And it is not comfortable for anybody in their flesh to walk up to somebody and say, have you ever heard the gospel? Do you know that Jesus died for you? My flesh will find every other reason not to do that. And it's the same with the guys I work with. I mean, I worked for 40 years as a pipe fitter in construction. And I witnessed the guys on the job. I'd like to tell you a lot of men came to Christ because of that. How many people will we see in heaven? Now, and let me be clear on this. We don't save anybody. I don't have the power to save anybody. And it's really odd to me that God uses man for the sake of the gospel. That is just really strange to me, because no one knows me better than God does. And yet God will still use me. I remember when I was 7 years old, and I accepted Christ when I was seven. I was home in my bunk bed, and I woke up realizing that I wasn't saved, and I accepted Christ. I invited a neighbor kid to go to church. I don't remember how long after that. And Larry got saved. His nickname was Corky. Larry got saved. And I remember the pastor coming out to me afterwards and go, David, because Larry got saved, you're going to have another crown, star on your crown in heaven. I remember thinking, I'm going to have a crown in heaven? You know, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But God did the work. And the Word of God is completely sufficient to do the work of God. The Word of God does the work of God. And let me remind you the first phrase of this chapter. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 17, for our light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's future. And that future is the soul of a person who will spend an eternity worshiping God because they heard the gospel and responded to it. And the last verse, in verse 18, and let me remind you that you know, 1 Corinthians was corrective, but 2 Corinthians is instructive. And in life, we can get so focused on things. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we see, they're not going to last. And all of our precious material, possessions, none of them will last. That's my deal. You know, they're all temporal. They're going to burn. And we have to focus on the things that are eternal, the things we can't see, souls of men and women who will spend an eternity separated from God in a place of torment. Men and women whom the precious blood of Christ was shed for their salvation. And we read that in Romans 10. And, you know, I read these two accounts of the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. And I honestly believe that if we hear that trump right now, today, and we are out of here, we are in the sky going to meet the Lord, as it says, I think the first emotion that everybody's going to be hit with is not going to be joy. It's going to be an overwhelming sense of regret. That friend of mine, he's not here. He's not going up. Yeah. The people I could have told and should have told and would have told just didn't. Romans 10, which we read earlier. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, and that would be salvation by grace through faith. 1 Corinthians started off with this verse. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. And then this same chapter we're in 2 Corinthians. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Man, that is why the church exists, to support each other in the church and to reach others outside the church. And that is Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth and to us. So, we can either choose to be obedient or, somebody else will do that. Well, let's pray and head into church. Lord, again, thank you for your clear teaching, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just help me to have a burden for the lost. Help each person here to have a burden for the lost and just to be willing to have a boldness to open your mouth and speak the truth in love. Lord, how surprising it is in circumstances I've been in that I've preached the gospel and men have just opened up and received it and prayed and gotten saved just because of a few words out of my filthy mouth, Lord, that you used for your glory and for the sake of eternity, Lord. Lord, help us to overcome our flesh, overcome our own spirits, Lord, and just to be renewed by the Word of God and to have a burden for those that don't know you, Lord. Enough that we would preach that you love them and you died for them and you paid the price for their sins so they can accept you as their Savior too, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you use us for the sake of your glory. And I pray that you would just give us a burden to share Christ with us. And also pray for divine appointments as we're preparing to go to Kosovo for this end, Lord. 5 weeks away, Lord, I pray that you'd even now be preparing people's hearts and minds to receive your gospel, Lord. And I pray that you go with us now into the church service, Lord. Be with Brian as he preaches the word of God, and let our hearts be open to it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.